Well, hey, and welcome to Story River Fables. It's Tina Constant here, and you know the jibber jabber's at the end, so we're jumping right into this week's story, which is called A Future Assured. It's all about Satori. She sat at the same table she had always sat in. For the last 3 decades, the table at the back of the Crossroads Inn had been hers. Now back then, people were quite literal. So the name of the inn wasn't an accident. It was a description of exactly where it stood. "I'll see you at the Crossroads Inn," people would say, and everybody knew where to go. From the outside, it was an old ramshackle wooden building. But when you went inside, the fire burned bright and the bar was fully stocked. The laughter was loud and the food was good. It was why Satori liked it. It's why she chose that place to ply her trade. People from all over the land would come to that inn. They would eat and drink and rest, and inevitably, they would glance her way. And all just a little nervous, they would put their coins on a scratched surface, and Satori would say, 1, 2, 3. As she counted the coins, "What do you want?" And her new client would say, "I want to know my future." And with that, Satori would pick up a deck of cards that she had carried her entire life. Truth is, that deck of cards had been her plaything from the day she was born. They so deeply belonged to her that her DNA was etched in them. She knew every bend, every tear and scratch and fold. She knew every image and the meaning they carried. With a person starting to sweat before her, Satori would pull 3 cards, study the face of the soul in front of her, and lay the cards out. "You'll be happy," she would say. "There will be challenges ahead, but you will defeat them. You will live long and happy, healthy life with joy." Or she would say, "There will be a loss, but you'll get through it." Or she would say, "Oh, well, you know what I mean. It was always good with a tinge of bad, little hint of reality, but exactly what people wanted to hear." And the person before her would smile, and because they believed that she had the gift of sight, they would go on joyously into their day, feeling better knowing that their future and their happiness, their health and wealth were known, and therefore they were secured. So it was until this particular day. The storm brewed long and wild outside. Snow fell thick and heavy, and as you can imagine, the crowd was a little light. In addition, the people who made it to the inn that night weren't the usual crowd coming in for a meal. They were the travelers. They were the hikers. They were the ones who came into the inn out of necessity. They were the kind of people who took pride in never having or needing to set foot in such a place. "It is too warm, too comfortable, and too soft," they would say. But on this particular night, with the fire burning bright and the food rich and good, an old woman walked into the bar, dressed in thick leather boots that had walked 1,000 miles at least. She had a woolen coat wrapped tight around her, keeping out the cold as well as any bearskin might. She shook the snow off at the door and stamped her feet 1, 2, 3 times. She looked around the inn and fixed her eyes on Satori and walked directly to her. Satori picked up her deck of cards, shuffled them in her hands, looked at the woman and said, "What do you want?" That's what she had said to 1,000 people before, and this woman was no different. But before Satori could even blink, the woman reached out her hand, picked up the deck of cards, and shuffled them herself. Then she said to Satori, "What do you want?" Well, Satori was so stunned at what the woman had done that for a long time she didn't say a word. So the woman dealt 3 cards. 1, 2, 3, she said, and she turned each one over. Now, as I said, Satori knew those cards. She had been born with them. They were her first playthings. She knew every scratch and tear, every picture. I told you, her DNA was etched into those cards. But when the woman turned the three cards over, there were pictures there that Satori had never seen. A crow with the sun rising over its back. A castle with light coming out of every window. And three hills, two with paths to the peak and the third untrodden. "What have you done?" Satori demanded. The woman picked up the three cards, shuffled them into the deck and dealt three more, and she said to Satori, "What have you done?" To Satori, it didn't sound like a question, it sounded like an accusation. 1, 2, 3. The woman turned the cards over, and again, even though Satori had watched the shuffle, the same three unfamiliar cards appeared. "Who are you?" Satori finally said, and again, the woman shuffled the cards back into the deck and drew three more, the same three cards. And she looked up at Satori. "Who are you?" Finally, Satori put her hands over the cards, trying to claw them back. She stared at the woman. "Why are you here?" "Ah," the woman said, snatching the cards back, shuffling and dealing them once more. "That's a question worthy of an answer. Why are you here?" Despite the shuffle, the same three cards were drawn. The crow with the sunrise lighting the sky, the castle on the hill with lights beaming out of every window, and the three hills, paths up the first two and the third untrodden. The old woman smiled at Satori. "Why are you here?" Satori stared at the cards. The answers were there, they always were. The crow with the rising sun, the castle with the lights shining bright, and the three hills, the third one untrodden. Knowing the game now, Satori looked at the old woman. "Why did you find me? Why did you seek me out?" The old woman gathered all the cards, put them back in the deck, put the deck on the table and said to Satori, "Why did you find me? Why did you seek me out?" Satori said nothing in return. She took her cards and left the inn and she went out into the snow. She just needed the cool. She needed the air. She needed a moment. The snow fell so thick and so fast that as people walked into the inn, their footprints disappeared so quickly they might well have never existed. Satori took a breath. The crow with the sun rising on its back. The castle with the light shining bright out every window. And the three hills, the third one untrodden. What does it mean? She spoke to herself in a whisper. But from inside the bar, she heard the old woman. What does it mean? With those cards firm in her mind, Satori closed her eyes and then opened them again. And there in the snow, like a story unfolding, a soul awakening after a long darkness, a place of power coming fully alive, and a path untrodden, not because it was impossible, but because no one had gone there before. Satori had sat at that table in the Crossroads Inn for 3 decades. 3 decades she had been charting the course for people who had given her 3 coins. Clutching her cards to her chest, she turned and went back into the inn. The old woman still sat at the table, her hands folded in front of her, her eyes closed, the fire crackling in the hearth. Satori put the cards back on the table and pushed them towards her. "How do I get to that third hill?" she asked. The old woman picked up the cards and shuffled once. She shuffled twice. She shuffled a third time. She split the deck and held it out to Satori. "Take "One card," she said. Now, Satori had drawn cards from that deck her whole life, 100 times every day. But drawing this card, it felt like her whole life hinged on making one right choice, one right selection. What if she got it wrong? What if she chose a card from the bottom when she knew in an instant she should have chosen the one from the top? What if she accidentally picked two, and of the two she chose the wrong one? The woman held Satori's hand and said, "Just choose." So, closing her eyes, Satori reached into the deck and pulled one card, and she put it on the table. Her heart beat in her chest. It felt like everything in her whole life rode on that one single choice. All the days she had left in her entire future rested on that one decision. What would the card say? It was out of her hands now. Finally, Satori couldn't take it anymore, and she opened her eyes. She looked deeply into the heart and the soul of the old woman before her, and then she looked down at the card. There was no crow. There was no castle on the hill. There were no three hills with one left untrodden. There was nothing at all. The card was empty. The card was blank. Satori turned over every card in her deck. All of the familiar folds and creases and tears were there, but every one of them was empty. They were all blank. Satori looked up, but the woman was gone. All she left was a small, sharp pencil. What now? Satori said, picking up the pencil and staring at the blank card. The door to the inn closed quietly, leaving just a whisper in the snow. What now? Indeed. You know that story came about when I couldn't make a decision on something, and I kind of got this feeling that if I made a wrong decision, then that would be it. That would be it. Everything in life would just fall apart if I got it wrong. Whereas in actual fact, it's the unwillingness or inability to make any choice, I mean literally any choice, that's the only thing that will honestly trip you up. Because all you need to do is choose one thing. It almost doesn't matter what it is. It's the taking of the steps that lead you to where you need to be. So even if the next step is the wrong step, you're moving forward. The next step you take will be based on that action and the lessons you learned, and so you take the next step, and then you take the next step. But if you don't take any steps at all, if you never choose, if you never decide, first of all, you never learn. You don't make mistakes. You don't work things out. All you do is you get frozen and you stay in one place, and you end up hiding from yourself and everything. It's better to make mistakes and take the steps and move forward than to stand still expecting whatever choice you're going to make has to be the perfect choice, or else you're not going to move forward at all. So make a decision today. Just decide. It's better to stand in mud than to stand on the pavement all your life. Just saying. Anyway, man, have a beautiful day. I'll see you next week. Go stand in a puddle. Stand in a puddle. Yeah, baby. Bye now.